Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Whereas touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed at this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Paul uses a rhetorical device here at the beginning of this chapter. He says, as touching the ministering of the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. It's interesting, isn't it? Well, you just spent two chapters on it, Paul. How superfluous actually is it? And yet, Paul would, in that way, sort of encourage them in the generosity that they've already pledged, right? He is reminding them, and he is encouraging them. And there is a certain superfluity in it because Paul doesn't doubt that they will be about what they had already determined to do. What he's trying to do is usher in that kind of propriety with regard to the timing of it all. It's been a year, Paul says, and so seeing that you were forward a year ago, it is time for you to execute that commitment that you had made. So it is superfluous in the sense that, once again, Paul is speaking kindly to them, but it is superfluous also in that he believes that they would be about it even if he didn't write to them. Yet it is expedient for him to write that they would be hurried at least a little bit in their prosecution of it. Once again, he encourages them also by the boasting that he has already maintained to the churches of Macedonia, and that they in Achaia is where Corinth is, right? That's the southern portion of Greece. So I told Macedonia, a region in the north, that Achaia, the region in the south, was ready a year ago, and it stirred them up. In other words, your example to them, your readiness of mind, your desire has already been a good example to the Macedonians. So don't let that example fall to the ground, is what Paul is saying here. Seeing that you have already begun in this way, finish it in such a way that no one, not us and not you, should be ashamed of this same confident boasting that we have already offered. So the boasting then has been an encouragement to them, or is used as an encouragement to them. Okay, so now what Paul does in verses 5, 6, and 7 is he says, you know, there are some things that ought to be taken care of behind the scenes so that we don't have to do it formally when I arrive, right? In our book of church order, we talk about the duties of elders. And one of the duties of elders is that we don't really save everything for our presbytery meeting, but some of those things we take care of behind the scenes to provide for a good order, to provide for a good procedure in all things, so that we're not coming cold to particular things. And Paul is saying this here, I sent the two brethren ahead beforehand so that they could make that collection so that no collections will remain when I arrive. And then Paul will talk about the details of that. But there's a particular propriety, right? Not to catch someone off guard in public, but to give them an opportunity beforehand to get caught up so that they're not caught flat-footed when Paul arrives. And that's the point that he's making, that we offer to one another those kindnesses rather than to confront each other publicly and by way of potential embarrassment. We want instead for all things to be done with a decency and an order that prevents that. So that's what Paul's talking about there in 5, 6, and 7. Now, I do not believe that Paul is talking about tithing here. This is not the tithe. This is an offering over and above the tithe, a generosity sort of offering that will be taken to another church rather than to provide for the maintenance of that church in Corinth and the all of the necessities and expenses that it takes to run a church, you know, a fixed charge like Corinth, like Wiley, like anywhere else. Paul is talking about giving that is over and above the tithe. So let's talk about that for a moment. The scripture often speaks of tithes and offerings, and it speaks of them together. The term tithe is really not a word that we use much except in that particular context. It simply means a tenth. It's translating an ancient word that means one-tenth. That's it. That's all the word tithe means. And so when we give a tithe, what we're talking about is giving a tenth. This is what Jacob said that he would give to the Lord, seeing that God will be my God and will conduct me safely back to my father's house in peace. I will be a partaker of that covenant, in other words. So Jacob is saying, I will give him a tenth of all, a tithe. And that's the same Hebrew word that we have where Abraham gave him a tenth of all. That is in Genesis chapter 14, speaking of Melchizedek. So most of the Christian church, although not every sound theologian that we would know, I'm reminded of Thomas Peck, the Southern Presbyterian and successor to R.L. Dabney at Union Seminary, who did not believe that the tithe was binding upon New Testament Christians. But the majority report has been that Christians should be giving a tenth as a matter of course, and then beyond the tenth, generosity or offerings of extra generosity, tithes and offerings, and those offerings would include something like this that Corinth would be giving to the Judean churches for the relief of their hunger or want in other ways. So tithes and offerings. Let's remember in the Old Testament that there was more than one tithe. There was the tithe that Abraham and Jacob spoke of. That was a general tithe of a proportionate giving of our income, at 10%. But then there was also a Levitical tithe, and there was a temple tax that was also exacted. And some scholars that have tried to put all that together have said, really, that amounted to somewhere around 23 or 25% of one's income by the time all of those tithes were exhausted. So the Levitical tithe was taken every 3 years, but we will remember that both Abraham and Jacob partook of a pre-Mosaic tithe, right? That upon a Christological import at Genesis 14 and Genesis 28. But we're not talking about a tithe here. We're talking about sowing and reaping either bountifully or sparingly, and we're talking about giving according as we have purposed in our heart, right? As a man purposeth in his heart, so shall he give. So this is that giving that takes place beyond a tithe. And notice that we are told that God loves a cheerful giver. Most of you probably have heard this before, but the Greek word for cheerful there is the same word we get hilarious from. Hilarion is the Greek word. So cheerful, happy, grateful to be able to give, in other words. So then, when we do that, when we give, we also recognize that God is able to make all grace abound toward us, that we always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. And so when we do that, when we give generously beyond the tithe to the needs of another fellow Christian, notice what Paul says, we follow the example of God in that. See verse 9. He hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. And then finally, he will give us some great assurance in that he will multiply our seed sown and increase the fruits of our righteousness in so doing. And so what Paul does is he brings together the two things, the temporal and the spiritual. As we make good use of our temporal things, we might expect a spiritual harvest from the Lord for the good of our souls. Okay, so this is what Solomon said that we studied a little ways back when he says, it's the liberal soul that shall be made fat. Liberal there not meaning politically liberal, but generous in that way. Liberals today are generous with other people's money, not their own. That's not what liberality truly is. All right, so then the end of the chapter simply speaks to all kinds of benefits that come when the people of God are generous with one another. So notice that there are many thanksgivings unto God. It supplies the want of the saints. Others learn to glorify God for our professed subjection to the gospel of Christ. And then also, they end up praying for those who have been generous to them for the exceeding grace of God in them. And so that one gift then of the Corinthian church to the churches of Judea is magnified and magnified and magnified beyond measure. All these other spiritual benefits come upon the heels of this one action of generosity. And that's why Paul at the end then will say, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Well, it's a short chapter, and there's not a whole lot new to say. We said most of it in the last chapter. So with that, then, let's stand and call.